B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, June 6th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1 and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Google held a pre-E3 conference breaking down all of the details on Stadia. We've got pricing. We've got a games list. We're going to talk about it all here. Plus, we're also going to be checking out a list today. Joe, what's the list?
Yeah, PlayBuzz actually has brought us 10 things that we absolutely hate in gaming.
Oh,
so
we are going to crush this.
Oh,
that's one. Easy.
Oh, I figured there's at least 10 things that we hate about gaming, so we should be able to do this, right?
All right. Well, that's all coming up here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
After 2 years of development, Blizzard has canceled work on a new IP. A senior animator on Overwatch, David Gibson, has been working on the project since July 2017. He announced his departure from Blizzard recently, and with it, the project is being scrapped. And we've now found out that that project was going to be a StarCraft first-person shooter.
Joe! It was described as Battlefield 5 in the StarCraft universe.
Oh, Joe, no. Don't go for the window, Joe. It's okay. It'll be okay, I promise.
Not once, but twice I've had to watch Ghosts get canceled.
Yeah. Yep.
You are probably not the only, but the biggest StarCraft fan in the room.
StarCraft is my favorite Blizzard IP.
I would love that as a first-person shooter.
Does that crush your hopes a little bit, your dreams?
It crushes my everything, Nate.
Oh, good.
My everything.
I'm glad to hear that.
GameStop took another beating at the stock market this week as their sales came in well short of expectations, and they announced they'll no longer be paying quarterly dividends. The results, a whopping 36% drop in value, leaving GameStop.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that leaves GameStop stocks at their lowest since 2003, a year after they listed publicly.
Yikes!
Oh, just kill it already.
Oh no!
Well, out of its misery.
But don't listen. I understand that, you know, Google's announcing some exciting things, but like, are you really gonna be like okay with no more GameStops?
I'm telling you, the thing that they should have been doing is pivoting into a gaming lifestyle brand and less about the
process of it. Well, the problem is it too little too late?
It might be. This is a pivot that should have been happening maybe a decade ago when, you know, digital distribution began to make sense.
Norris, have you been in a GameStop lately? That's exactly what they are. Mm-hmm. It's like 75% gaming merchandise, and then there's like a rack of games.
Right. The walls are now games, and literally like 80% of the store floor is merch.
Get rid of them other games ain't nobody gonna buy. Nobody's gonna buy those.
No, they're not. But I got 4 Overwatch shirts for $10 total.
Ooh, struggling. That's Kmart prices.
The final games have been revealed for the Sega Genesis Mini, and surprisingly, there were 12 of them this time around. This brings the final total to 42 games.
Whoa.
With Tetris, Darius, Road Rash 2, Strider, Virtua Fighter 2,
okay,
Alicia Dragoon, Columns, Dynamite, Heady, Kid Chameleon, Monster World 4, Light Crusader, and Eternal Champions rounding out the list.
Fair. Okay, this is the best classic lineup of any of the consoles and classics now.
Totally.
Easily.
I will get that to you because the library is so deep. Like, I recognize, okay, Virtua Fighter, Road Rash. What is Alicia Dragoon?
I don't know
that game, but I kind of want to check it out. It might be in the, Panzer Dragoon series, maybe? I don't know. I know Kid Chameleon. But like, the fact that I don't recognize a lot of these titles means that if I bought it, I would actually be
discovering stuff.
Yeah, met with new content.
Stuff. And
that's
still
actually cool.
All the old stuff that you wanted to play in the first place.
Exactly. I could quit that and go play Vector Man at any time.
There, and I mean, at a price point of about $80, that works out to what, $1.90 a game, basically?
It's pretty impressive. Bad. Here's the thing that I didn't see on that list, and I'm still sad about: no Boogerman Pick and Flick.
No, you didn't get that one.
No Boogerman. Sad.
Microsoft is beginning to tease what to expect for this year's Xbox E3 showcase. While it's been announced that this year's event will be shorter than years past, coming in under 2 hours, they have teased, quote, "We invited something new to hashtag Xbox E3 this year."
All right, first of all.
just under 2 hours.
Just under 2 hours.
You don't think that show's just a little bit bloated? God. Exclusive.
The whole inviting something new, though, I think is starting to give a little bit more credence to your theory, Nate, of maybe Sony actually being a part of this.
Because I say something new, not someone new.
Well, but is Sony someone new? Like, Sony and Microsoft sharing a stage is something new.
Right, and that's what they say, is that this is something new to Xbox E3. I don't know.
See, that's so open for interpretation.
It is.
Man.
But, again, as we've stated before, kind of now must-watch TV.
Let's just hope they're not taking a page from Ubisoft's book and bringing in Cirque du Soleil.
That would be ideal.
Okay, yeah.
But that would be something new.
We don't have to worry about that, actually.
It would be horrible, but new.
It'd be, you know, Siegfried and Roy.
God help me.
No, that would not be good.
It's got to be Penn and Teller if it's going to be something like that. The first round of ECS Season 7 got underway this week, and it brought an upset that no one was expecting. Furia, fresh off a strong performance at DreamHack Masters Dallas, upset Astralis in the group stages.
Yeah!
Wow!
Astralis has one more match against Ninjas in Pajamas, and a loss would mean they're heading home.
Do it!
Yes!
Send them there!
What happened? Like, because this team was so dominant in the opening weeks.
Well, they were so dominant for, let's say, the last year.
Yeah, that's true. Unbeatable.
But we talked about it kind of at length. Is this just a sign of, you know, the scene is depressed except for Astralis and they're just really good? Well, I think what we're seeing is they were actually insanely good for a year, and finally some of the other teams are catching up to them.
It sort of reminds me back in the day when Barcelona was running everything in soccer, and then all of a sudden people just figured it out. Everybody else got a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the interesting things about, you know, esports and, you know, kind of the way that metas are constructed. Once somebody gets your number, you have to kind of go back to the drawing board when it comes to figuring out how to kind of counter that.
Yeah, once someone has the formula to beating you.
Exactly, yeah, you're right.
The ongoing legal dispute between FaZe Clan and Tfue has brought some of FaZe's other legal matters into the spotlight. They're currently facing another lawsuit from the now-defunct social media platform Hubrick, who claims they raided their shared corporate office overnight and took furniture and gaming computers. In addition, Tfue revealed their youngest streamer, HiSky1, is only 12 years old, which resulted in him being removed from Twitch. He's now taken to YouTube, where he can be seen streaming with his mother in the background, per YouTube's new policies. He apologized for the lie, saying he did it in order to fulfill his dream and that the age restriction was holding him back.
Well,
it turns out the Twitch stream was actually his Twitch channel was his older brother's.
Well, but here's...
But that, stop. Here's the thing. FaZe Clan.
FaZe
Clan.
All right, listen. I don't care if the kid came in and told you that he was of age and could be a part of your team. You do your due diligence as an organization, okay?
Yeah, this is
you
super...
You get the paperwork.
This is super embarrassing for FaZe.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's no way...
It's embarrassing for the industry and the scene.
But the other thing about Hubrick, I hadn't heard this, that they went and raided their corporate office.
Yeah, that supposedly happened last... This is actually a lawsuit that's been going since 2018, but now with everyone kind of looking into FaZe's legal matters, that's come out as well.
Man, I sort of feel like with the mounting allegations...
Scummy, man.
Like, and again, they are allegations, but I just feel like, wow, what a really...
It's just
weirdly run organization.
It's like, just a bad look.
How does that happen that you let somebody under 13 into your organization and just have
money?
The weird thing is, his contract with them is nullified because under California law, you can't sign
one. Uh-huh.
Right. That said, when you watch his YouTube channel, he still has all the FaZe branding going on his channel, which says to me they've probably said, "Hey, you keep doing your thing, and when you turn 13. There'll be a nice signing bonus waiting for you." That would be my guess.
There's probably still money being funneled to them in some way, shape, or form.
Allegedly.
That's a speculation at best.
Take it with a grain of salt.
But this just seems so sketchy. Like, everything... Like, if I was an investor in FaZe Clan...
Ooh, get out. Yeah.
I would, no way. There's no way I would not be pulling my money out of there.
Epic Games has listened to their pro scene and has pushed back the final week of qualifiers for their Fortnite World Cup. The final week of Duos qualifiers will now be held on June 20th and 21st. The move became necessary to avoid clashing with a community event on the 15th and 16th, which many key players were scheduled to participate in.
Now, Fortnite esports scene, don't get used to this.
Seriously, man.
They probably really did it because they have some new product or some new mechanic that now they have the time to put the final touches on and bring it out just in time for the World Cup.
Or, I don't know, maybe they're sliding it off to, you know, make sure people can't get their aim bots in. They'll have to, you know, do some last-minute coding and stuff like that.
They're pushing it off so that Tfue and Ninja have a chance to qualify for duos. They haven't yet.
I think
that's why this is happening.
I think the presupposition there was that Tfue and Ninja probably would have been qualified by now.
Yeah, exactly.
So they could have comfortably gone to the Pro-Am.
Exactly. They're this qualified feels for solos, weird. Not for duos.
Doesn't this feel weird, though, that, like, the upper echelon of the most famous people, you know, who stream for your game are able to kind of, like, dictate schedules around the World Cup? Like,
doesn't
that
surprise me, honestly.
I mean,
it doesn't surprise me,
but at the same time, you didn't see the NBA schedule changing because Jordan got the flu. No, Jordan had to play.
I'm just saying.
No,
like,
you just
yeah.
saw the refs giving him a break.
Whatever.
Okay. As long as I'm not the only one who thinks that that's a little bit weird, thanks.
Yep. All right. Not. That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. So ESPN has announced a brand new esports series.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to know more about this because they've chosen to do it with Apex Legends, and that seems like a very weird decision.
No, totally. So basically, they're introducing a new series of competitive gaming tournaments that they'll be including at their major events throughout the year. The EXP Esports series will be broadcast live online. There'll be tape delayed versions on ESPN and ABC. The first event is Apex Legends. It's going to be an exhibition tournament that's going to be held during the ESPYs.
Thank you for clearing that up. So the game could change.
It will change. Yeah.
So it's open. Okay. Yeah, it's open ended to say like it could be any number of games.
Absolutely.
The first one. Okay.
The first one is Apex Legends.
Okay. I was a bit confused about that.
Well, you should be. I can't imagine they'd hitch their horse to Apex Legends in the long term at this point. I can't imagine anyone would.
No, yeah. I feel like there are even esports organizations that started up Apex Legends teams that have already diverted them to other games.
But you know what? It can't help but to me feel very like X-gamey. You know what I mean? You remember how back in the 90s they would just tack on a skateboard or rollerblading event to some other bigger event that more people cared about in the effort to say, hey, look, guys, this is a thing. And it's not, you know, it wasn't until the X Games were established that they made it its sort of own standalone thing.
Right.
Yeah, and I feel like
you're right. No,
this could go either one of two directions.
You're exactly right. I remember X Game exhibitions out at things like Vans Warped Tour.
Exactly.
So, yeah, no, this does very much feel like that. You said that they're attaching it to the ESPYs?
The first event is going to be held during the ESPYs.
And they're saying it's going to be connected to their major events. So the big stuff that ESPN is doing in-house for events, they could be tacking on esports events.
Yeah, but at the same time, this is ESPN kind of like earnestly and legitimately supporting esports. I think that's kind of a big deal, don't you?
In addition to the college championship that they put on earlier this year, I think this is another step towards like legitimacy as far as ESPN's concerned. Whether ESPN is still worth what it was, you know, 10 years ago, I don't know, but absolutely.
Well, that's why I say it could go one of two ways. It could go, you know, the sort of X Games route where it gets enough adoption in popular culture to where the sport becomes sustainable, or people could wholly reject it and really go at it because, you know, you got two competing crowds of people who don't want esports and people who don't want ESPN to do it.
Thank you, Norris. I get exactly what you're saying. It's going to work or it's going to fail, as most things often do.
Well, but I mean, you know, can you split the difference here? Like, is there enough of a traditional sports audience that would be interested in esports being at ESPN's major events? I think that you can make a case that there is, right? Like, as more and more millennials start to age into their late 30s, early 40s, they're having families. Maybe they're even bringing families to these types of events. This gives gives kids something to kind of focus on, and their parents, you know, aren't clueless about it either. I think that there is an opportunity here, and maybe it's not the dumbest idea to kind of, at least in the trial phase, in the first year of it, attach it to larger events that you know that you're going to be able to sell.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying it makes me think of the success of the X Games and how ESPN was a major hand in making that happen.
That's a very good point. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited for ESPN to be getting more involved with esports? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. Coming up on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll go over the top 10 most annoying things in video games. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we're going to talk about Google's Stadia Connect, because Google may have just changed the game. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight and photos and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. Google recently did an entire presentation about the Stadia, gave a ton of information about it.
Take over the world.
They called it the Stadia Connect, and I think that we can start expecting more of these as the service
continues to
develop.
Yeah, I feel like we're going
to
get at least
like Stadia Play.
It's not exactly the most original name I've ever heard for something like this.
No,
but
it got the job done.
Yeah, so Stadia Connect, the very first one went down, and I gotta say, I was very impressed by what they showed off. We got pricing, we got games lists, but I want to start with the features, because I think this was the thing that impressed me the most. Obviously, we knew that Stadia would be a platform that allowed you to play AAA games, and really any kind of game, regardless of the hardware that you're playing on any type of screen, whether it be a laptop, a notebook, a desktop, a phone. Yeah.
A TV.
So we knew that it had that kind of functionality, but there was a lot of questions about, like, okay, how much bandwidth is this going to end up eating? Am I going to need to get a better plan, a better ISP plan? Yep. And so Google came out and actually answered a lot of these questions.
Well, don't worry. Yeah, we got the requirements here. So the top of the line, if you want the 4K, the HDR video, the 60 FPS and 5.1 surround sound, 35 Mbps is the download speed that you need.
Now,
1 meg up speed.
Let me explain this, guys. For anyone living in a big city or on the coast,
you don't have to worry. You're good.
You are fine.
You're set. If you're in a rural area, I do have a lot of concerns.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 35 Mbps. So they're mid-tier, which is HDR video, 1080p, not 4K, 60 FPS and 5.1 surround sound. That's 20 Mbps required.
Not bad. I mean,
bad.
You know, kind of your average.
That's average.
That's middle of the road, you know, cable service, you know? Like, I feel like that's
the entry-level joint that they give you when you get to the internet packages. Like, 20 Mbps is usually like the start point.
The recommended minimum for 720p, still 60 FPS and stereo sound, is 10 Mbps.
Now, Okay.
Most places can handle that.
Most places can, but there are still rural connections that will, you know, when they're connected, when they're stable, they can get up to 10 megabits per second. But the stability is, I think, the big issue when you start talking about rural connections.
Yeah, I mean, but at this point, we're starting to get real out there for, you know, not that many people.
That's true. So, and really, you know, when we start talking about things like 5G, you know, this is going to be really impressive technology that we're going to be able to use portably.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, it'll be pretty widely accessible. Like I said, 35 Mbps, if you live in a big city, is perfectly fine. I have fiber at home. I have triple the amount required for this.
Yeah. And I mean, even just with my Comcast service, I get 50.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've got 100 at home.
What do you need in terms of, like, up speed?
Obviously, 1 meg.
That's it?
Just across the board for everything?
Yeah,
that's
1 meg up speed.
Because you got to remember, this was something that they said. The controller is not connecting to whatever device you're using, so it's not eating up bandwidth. That way, it's connecting to the server for you to play the game. That's how they're trying to reduce input lag as well.
That's really impressive, I got to say. That's an attention to detail that I really appreciate, because you would think, like, and especially when you use the remote play service with, you know, say, Sony, mm-hmm. right? All of that is always attached to the device, right? Yes. You don't have to connect your controller to the internet so that it can play, which is ostensibly what you might have to do for Stadia.
Yes.
So I think that that's really interesting and a really smart feature for them to implement. And I'm really impressed so far by what I've seen. This seems like a service that will be usable on a lot of platforms, and that is technically not just possible, but very feasible.
All right. Well, let's talk dollars and cents. How about that?
All right.
All right. So some pricing points. Stadia Pro is going to be $9.99 a month. According to the website, it will have, quote, select free games, whatever that shakes out to mean. Stadia Base will be releasing in 2020. That'll have no monthly sub, and games for both services will be buy as you go. If you have Pro, games will be discounted when you purchase them. We don't know what that discount will be yet.
So this isn't quite the Netflix of video games, the way that people had envisioned, maybe at that initial announcement.
Yes, Stadia Pro is essentially a PS Plus.
It's closer to, I think, Amazon Prime is the closest parallel I can draw to it. There's a bunch of free things in the library that rotate in and out, and then you can buy things at a discounted rate.
When a new game comes out, you're not getting that for free either way. Like, you're going to be putting money down one way or the other.
And you know what? It should be mentioned, nobody does business like that.
Exactly.
No one.
Yes.
No one. It's not Sony, not Microsoft. There's not, like, a flat $60 a month that you can pay and get access to literally everything on that doesn't exist,
and no developers signing on for that.
And listen, if Google was able to make that happen, that would be incredible. That would be a huge game changer. But I think that was an unrealistic expectation that fans had going into this.
So if this presentation swayed you, if you're in, you can get the Founders Edition. It comes with a Chromecast Ultra, a controller, 3 months of Stadia, and a Buddy Pass, so that someone else can also get 3 months of Stadia Pro for $129.
Oh.
That is
my
competitive
God.
AF.
$129.
That's
it?
Two games.
Hang on. Is that even competitive? Is it? Like, can we name another piece of hardware?
Well, no, it's not.
It blows the competition out of the water.
Yeah, it's not.
I bought it.
Did you? Joe, you already bought it?
I did.
I'm buying mine.
I ordered it. I bought it. I'm in. I'm all in.
I'm buying mine. You know, I'm in too.
Because when I first saw this, I thought to myself, what do I right now need this for? I got the PlayStation 4, I got a Switch, I got my computer. I don't know that I need this right now.
Sure.
And then what hit me was, a few days ago, I've started playing GTA 5 again, right? That's 80 gigs. That I barely got onto my PC, right?
Yeah.
Can't play it on my laptop, because there's no way I can fit that on my laptop.
Sure.
And then it dawned on me.
If you had something like this, Stadia,
you wouldn't need anything on a hard drive ever again.
All you need is a Chrome browser.
Right.
That's it.
I mean, a Chromecast Ultra is $70 by itself. So, I mean, just for that, I mean, you're effectively now paying $60 for what? The controller, 3 months of the product, and to get your name, your first dibs at your username?
Yeah, I think that's also kind of cool, too.
I like that. And obviously, you'll get to use it before anyone else does. Mm-hmm. This is going to be releasing in most countries. 2019 release will be mainly U.S. and European countries. And now, the fun part. the games library that has been announced so far.
This is a big deal. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone that's tuning in live over at our Twitch channel or at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. You can join the fun live every single day. We go live at 5 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Joe, let's talk about this games list.
Well, first and foremost, we got the confirmation of what the rumor that had been going around. Baldur's Gate 3 is indeed happening, and it's coming to Stadia.
And it seemed like a distinctly kind of more nautical theme. Like,
well, that was a mind flayer.
It's a mind flayer, yes, but even the logo seemed a little bit more nautical. And I don't know, did you catch that little lightning flash in the sky where there was a gigantic squid? I couldn't help but notice that.
Yeah. This looks awesome.
Oh, I cannot wait.
I'm excited for that. We've also
who's developing it?
That's Larian Studios.
Okay,
they made Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Yep. That was the rumor. Because when I went and looked who developed the previous Baldur's Gate, it was Black Isle, the same people who developed the first two Fallout games.
Oh.
So, yeah, that explains why I liked it so much.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So, yeah, I'm excited about Baldur's Gate 3.
We also found out Ghost Recon Breakpoint, that's going to be making its way to Stadia. Division 2, Destiny 2, Shadowkeep, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and Mortal Kombat 11.
See, that's
fantastic.
That's the one thing that I'm unsure of, because you still want to reduce input lag for fighting games as much as possible.
Fighting games are really going to test
fighting
it.
Games in any online competitive environment is going to be really, I don't want to say tough, but I just want to see how it can handle something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see when we all get our hands on it, Norris. I'm specifically going to charge you with picking out a fighting game, mm-hmm. whether it's Mortal Kombat, whatever it is, and testing that theory, because I think that's going to be really important.
Baldur's Gate 3, that's not exclusive to Stadia, is it?
I don't think any of these were
nothing was revealed as
I think it'll be a
Stadia
PC release.
Which is another big question, though, is that with this out, does that open up the possibility? Timed exclusive, very much so, could be a possibility here, but a Stadia exclusive game?
Well, what's interesting, though, is that like Stadia, because it's not, because they didn't go that flat rate and you get access to everything Netflix sort of model that a lot of people were kind of like betting that they would. This is now a third competitive platform to take really seriously on the PC.
Yeah.
Because you've got Steam, you've got Epic, and now you've got Stadia. And if they start getting into the exclusives game, which clearly Epic has shown that there is a willingness for developers to do, man, that could really be a game changer. I mean,
won't be the console wars, it's going to be the platform wars, the launcher wars.
Yeah, that's pretty close, yeah.
Well, the only difference, though, between those two and Stadia is you have to actually pay for Stadia.
That's true.
I mean, but at the same
time, until 2020.
You start looking at this launch lineup. This is a bigger launch lineup than any of the current consoles had when they came out. I mean, you got Tomb Raider, Dragon Ball, Elder Scrolls Online, Grid, Wolfenstein, Darksiders.
But the downside is that people have already played these games as well.
A lot of them, yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised.
I'm just excited for this for no other reason than to be able to play Elder Scrolls Online and, like you were talking about, Robbie, not have to allocate 100 gigs of my hard drive to be able to do it.
Yeah. Amen.
I think that this is some pretty exciting announcements that we've gotten here from Google. But what do you think? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we've got a list from PlayBuzz that goes through the top 10 most annoying things in gaming.
Only 10?
Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston and the Horn 104.9 in Austin, Texas. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. You should check out more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling, and the WWE and Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast. Check it out over at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Joe has brought us another list as tribute.
Oh, yes.
We love lists here. We love to tear them apart. We love to tell you what everyone got wrong about them. So today's list comes to us from PlayBuzz.
Yeah, so these are, I don't know if these are the top 10. If they are, I think they're horribly ranked. But
well,
these are 10 things they detest in video games. And I'm going to let you try to guess a couple of them, but I want to give you guys a couple first to kind of give you an idea of what they mean.
All right. Baseline.
I'm going to give you one that's pretty obvious and one that's not so obvious. So here's one that's very obvious. Microcurrencies. We hate earning currency in the game or buying currency to buy something.
Especially when it's multiple different types.
Microtransaction, like currency that is attached solely to the real money that you exchange for it. Yeah,
right.
Sure, that's annoying.
$15 gets you 1,200 coins.
But what's even more annoying than that is when you have in an MMO, say, a different currency for literally every different event in the game, so that they're all kind of like vacuum sealed inside of one another.
I'll do you one better is when you get micro currency that's like only attached to certain things you could buy. Like, I have no idea what Orange Essence does in League of Legends.
Oh, it's for
in the Riot Launcher.
It's for skins.
Well, I can't figure out how to spend it, so that's the whole point.
Fair enough. All right, here's one that's a little less obvious. They call it the fade to black. It's a trope that's used a lot, especially in like Call of Duty games, where like a mission ends by you getting knocked out and you just wake up in the next one. That is abused as all get out in modern gaming.
That is true.
The knockout scene transition.
Yeah, I'll definitely give you that. I mean, even when it's used well, say in like a Metal Gear Solid context, because I've never noticed it as being hokey, but the minute that you say it, I can think of like four different scenes where that happens.
I had a mission in GTA 5 that did that the other day.
It's every mission in Call of Duty.
Single one?
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Alright, do you guys want to take a couple guesses at maybe some things that might be on
here? Alright. Top thing I hate in games.
Okay, what do you got for me?
Noobs.
I think noobs is a great answer. It's not on here.
Man, forget that list.
I think you're right. Noobs is a great answer.
All right, I'll go in the opposite direction.
So wait a minute, Robbie. Your expectation is that everyone be instantly good at the moment they pick up the game.
No, not instantly good, but you shouldn't have people like biggest thing in Overwatch, for example, people who when they start shooting stand still. Like they can't move and shoot at the same time.
That's just people who are mechanically poor. They don't have to be noobs. Anyway, I'll go the opposite direction, Joe. Smurfs.
Ooh, Smurfs.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
I think we're thinking too competitively here.
I'm going to say there is nothing that refers to other players.
I have one.
Game mechanics.
It doesn't matter. Okay. I don't care. I don't care if it's on this list or not.
All right.
Spawn campers.
Ooh.
The scum of the earth.
All right, I'm going to give you guys a couple more here.
All right.
How about... they call this pay respects. Pressing X to do anything in a cinematic. Any kind of in-gaming input during a cinematic. Just show me the cutscene.
Quick
X to doubt.
QTE. So any QTE.
Metal Gear Solid 4, basically.
The whole entire game,
including the cutscenes.
I like this one. Online, offline. You're forced to play online even though you're just doing the single player
mode. You know what? Yes. No, they are absolutely 110% totally correct about this. If I don't interact with another human being in the entirety of the game, why does it need to be connected to the internet?
So they can know you're not pirating it.
That's infuriating. Even if you do a checksum once when I first launch it and it goes, okay, it verifies, fine.
Good,
but I should be able to play it offline every single other time after that.
All right. My next one. Gratuitous inventory management.
Sure I saw that one.
Good one.
So basically, Ark.
Breath of the Wild.
So I'm going to put this in with another one that is on here. Gotta go craft. In addition to insane inventory management, not every game needs a crafting system. What happened to a killing a boss and having it drop a cool item?
That's fair. That's fair. Right. Although, you know, some of the crafting systems that I've encountered lately, I've really enjoyed.
Games have gotten better at it.
They have. Specifically Bethesda games, because it was in Elder Scrolls Online that I really got into crafting for the first time in any MMO that I've ever played. And I've been playing as far back as Ultima Online, although I did have one smithy character in Ultima Online. And then, Fallout 76. It is inherently necessary to craft and to break down and to scrap in that game. And it's a mechanic that I have hated in games previous, but I really enjoy about Fallout.
Well, I'll go to, again, modify that answer a little bit. Bad menus.
Bad
UX.
It's not on here, but I'll tell you one that makes me think of that. The human eye. Oh my God. Why is there lens flare? My eye is not a camera.
That's a good point.
That's pretty good.
Well, yeah. The lens flare, I think, was done to try to make it, give it the appearance of being more cinematic.
Cinematic, yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm starting to run out of things because you guys have taken a lot of my list.
There's some good ones on here still.
Go ahead, Robbie.
Just in case you do it. All right. I hate the straight, white, middle-aged male protagonist.
Beardy
McBearderson?
Yeah.
Oh, Robbie.
Yep.
I think you guys are creating a great list. Beardy's not on here.
Our list is better.
Let me give you one that is on here. Sharing to Facebook. Sharing your achievements to social media. Yeah.
Thank you.
How about just achievements?
Yeah. Well, anything to social media.
Remember back in the day when an achievement was just something that you did? I don't need a game to tell me when I have achieved something great.
You know what's even worse than that? Seeing other people's achievements that they think are worth posting to Facebook?
You got past
Stop
Act 2.
I'm going
to
say this.
Was that
one
supposed to be the sarcastic, what's his name, Clap?
It's his old ass.
Shia LaBeouf.
There it is. I'm going to give you this one because it's the one that made me decide we're doing this list. Unskippable cutscenes. Let me tell you something.
Metal Gear Solid.
Hold on. I have to explain
because Final Fantasy X Remake.
Hold on. I'm a little split on this back in the day it was a rite of passage that if you couldn't beat a boss, that was your punishment.
You
going through the 20-minute cutscene leading up to it.
Why does Metal Gear have all of these?
I know it's
Metal
really
Gear 4
at least
has all of these.
It's really bad. It's really embarrassing. But even more than that, Final Fantasy VII. Every time you summon Knights of the Round, that's 20 minutes that you had to go do anything else.
Yes, it is. Need a bathroom break? Knights of the Round.
So true. All right, and fake barriers.
Invisible walls.
Invisible wall or a door that you can only unlock with a key despite the fact that you have a grenade launcher on you.
Yes, I've got one. I've got one that has always driven me crazy. One, I don't know what it is.
So crazy right now.
It's driving you crazy. Got it.
We don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
Shut up, Norris. In older games were way more guilty of this because admittedly they didn't have the memory to do it, but buildings that were basically big painted rocks that you could never go in. They had no internal structure.
Yep.
I don't have a
GTA
problem.
GTA 5 last night, there was a building I was supposed to go into. I tried every door, and then the last one was the one I could go
into. See, that drives me crazy.
You should be able to enter every door.
Yes, thank you.
The last one on here is, it says overstuffed enemies. Specifically, it's talking about that zone that every old game had where the encounter rate suddenly jumped up to a bajillion.
Bullet sponges.
The Zubat Cave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give us the encounter none at least somewhere.
Encounter rate is at 99, in newer games, a bullet sponge enemy is sort of the equivalent of that, just anything to make you burn resources.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's a fairly good list.
could obviously use some additions.
It could. It's like it needed to be a top 20 list. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, and we delved pretty deep. I think we went a little bit deeper than what they went on.
Bravo, PlayBuzz. You put together a fairly decent list. At least you got the Checkpoint XP seal of approval.
That's right.
But listen, we want to hear from you. What would you add to this list? I know that we didn't think of everything. What do you hate about video games? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday live at 5 p.m. over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.